If I've ever wanted to be in a different land, it certainly is these days. But a land filled with really good books and really nice people and all kinds of comfort and joy and happiness and love and empathy. Oh, you know, off to a different land. So we do that this morning as we channel that and bring it to our book pick segment for the week. We have a wonderful family of independent bookstores to supply us our book picks for the week. And this morning we welcome the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, back to the show. After spending lots of time reading books and studying up, owner Phil Lewis joins us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of tomes to share. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm not so bad, Joe. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to hear your voice. I thank you very much for being on the program. And I look forward to hearing what we should be reading and what's on your radar this morning. Where would you like to begin? Oh, well, first of all...
Okay, well, first up, I've got The Night Watchman by Louise Erdrich.
Yes.
It's based on the life of Erdrich's grandfather, Patrick Gourneau, who was chairman of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. Gourneau led a successful fight against termination by the federal government in the 1950s. But this is a novel, not a biography. And it starts in September 1953. The U.S. Congress has just brought a bill to the floor that will abrogate the rights of Native Americans to their lands. The so-called Emancipation Bill is really only a plan to relieve the federal government of its responsibilities to the Native American people. Just what does this bill mean to the people living on Turtle Mountain Reservation in North Dakota? And how can the people of the reservation fight against their termination? The Night Watchman tells the story of the tribe's successful battle for its rights, largely through the perspective of two key characters, Thomas Wazushk, a member of the Chippewa Council, and his niece, Dixie Parentau, a rebellious young woman who plans to leave the reservation and move to the city. We follow Pixie as she makes a disastrous run for the big city in search of her sister, Vera, who has gone missing. And we follow Thomas as he makes his rounds of the reservation, gauging the feelings of the community, taking its pulse. He listens to opinions and offers support and advice, then leads a delegation of his people to Washington, D.C. to argue the tribe's case. Erdrich's novel glides effortlessly along. Her control of language is masterful, such a light touch that delivers so much power. The reader is caught up in the flow, absorbed somehow and enriched. Erdrich's main characters are well-developed and interesting. Thomas is perfect as the concerned counselor who takes on the U.S. government. This is a very moving read, satisfying and uplifting.
I love her so much. I love this book so much. It is The Night Watchman by Louise Erdrich, and it's just terrific. Next up.
Okay, next up is a review by Linda. The book is Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You, by Jason Reynolds and Ibram Kendi. Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You is a book for middle school and young adult readers that reimagines Ibram Kendi's National Book Award-winning scholarly work, Stamped from the Beginning. Both books explore the history of racist ideas in America and provide a hopeful framework for an anti-racist future. Kendi asked the prolific author of young adult and children's books, Jason Reynolds, to remix Stamp from the Beginning for a younger audience. With his unique style and remarkable ability to speak to young people, Reynolds has done a brilliant job making the historical information accessible and relatable to younger audiences, and also provides a clear path forward for the work needed to become an anti-racist. The book defines three words that are used to describe people throughout history, as well as of all of us today: segregationist, assimilationist, and anti-racist. These terms help explain the racist policies and practices that have existed since the founding of our country, and the ways in which the roots of these ideas continue to influence policies and practices in all areas of our society, including healthcare, housing, education, criminal justice, and employment. Chapter 1 begins with a statement, "This is not a history book," and later states, "This is a present book, a book about the here and now." The United States is at a critical moment in our history where we must examine our racist past and present and make decisions about how we will move forward to become an anti-racist society. Young people are critical to the success of this movement, and Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You is a vital resource for the work that needs to be done.
The name of the book is Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Jason Reddles and Ibram X. Kendi. Just a quick note that we did have Ibram X. Kendi on this program, on our panel, just a few weeks ago, and that is available online. But we also have him on as a guest. We're doing an encore presentation of the book show that he did with us for his book that came out last fall called How to Be an Anti-Racist, and we'll be airing that at 3 o'clock this afternoon and Thursday at 8:30. A very important voice to hear at any time, but especially now. Again, the name of the book that Phil is talking about, Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. All right, next up, another great book by another great Vermont author.
Okay, yes. Afterlife by Julia Alvarez. Alvarez's latest novel, Afterlife, is a gentle reflection on life after the loss of a partner. It explores the shadows, the echoes that hover around long-shared routines now performed solo, the expected commentary, now silent, but still heard. But the book's much more than that. It's also an exploration of the vulnerable situation of the migrant workforce on which rural industry depends, the people who dwell behind the scenes, far from home and family. And through this reflection and exploration, the book touches on possible answers to Tolstoy's three questions. When is the right time? Who are the right people? What is the most important thing to do? Antonio Vega's life has been upended. Recently retired from a position as a professor of English literature, she slowly creates new patterns for her days. But then her beloved husband, Sam, dies, throwing her life into turmoil. Antonio keeps to her routines, walking a narrow path through her loss. Occasionally, she takes sips of sorrow, afraid the big wave might wash her away. That was a quote.
Yes.
Antonia's neighbor, Roger, is a farmer whose farm is barely afloat. He relies on the work of illegal immigrants, paid under the table, to keep things going. He stops by one evening and offers to have one of his laborers clean out her blocked gutters. And so Antonia becomes embroiled in the complexities of life as an undocumented worker. The local sheriff visits one day. Antonia hesitates in a darkened room before answering the knock at the door. She is torn. Has the sheriff heard of her involvement with the migrant community? Is she in trouble? Should she answer the door? But the sheriff is sympathetic. He knows of her connections and is here to warn her of a rumored ICE raid. Can she spread the word? And then her sister goes missing. I really enjoyed this novel. It was just so well written, and it just touched on so many interesting topics. Do recommend it.
The name of the book is Afterlife. It is by Julia Alvarez. Next up.
Okay, next up is Anxious People by Frederick Bachman, and this will be released in September. And what is Anxious People about? Bachman himself poses this question as he sets off on this delightful romp. At different times, he suggests the book is about a bank robbery, or a bunch of idiots, or about a bridge. But it's about much more than that. It's about people and relationships, father and son, mother and children, husband and wife. Simple mistakes and minor misunderstandings, grudges and old hurts and missed opportunities and betrayal. But still more, it's about love. Bachman quotes Martin Luther, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." The author returns to this theme throughout. This novel is his apple tree. The story revolves around a group of people held hostage in an apartment after a bank robbery has gone wrong. There's Roger and Annalena, a tired old couple looking for an apartment to renovate. And there's Julia, pregnant, and her partner, Ro. And Estelle, whose husband, Knut, has yet to turn up. And Lennart, who makes his first appearance dressed in an oversized rabbit head with giant floppy ears. And then there's Zara, the bank manager held hostage to a letter she has clung to, unopened, for 10 years. A letter from a man who threw himself off a bridge after being denied a bank loan. And of course, the real estate agent who has brought them all together to show the apartment. Bachman's writing can seem irreverent and chaotic at times, but it slipped into that whirlwind of irreverence and chaos. There are moments of such profound beauty that you're left gasping. His take on the responsibility of parenthood, for example, delivered as a one-liner fairly early on and returned to on occasion as the story proceeds, is spot on. For people who enjoy Bachman's writing, Anxious People is his best yet. But a caution. Anxious People explores themes of death and suicide and the effects these have on the people left behind. It's not for everyone.
The name of the book is The name of the book is Anxious People by Frederick Bachman. Frederick Bachman's Anxious People. Finally, we have about 2 minutes.
Okay, very quickly then. Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. Amira is celebrating her friend Shawnee's 26th birthday when she receives a call from Mrs. Chamberlain, the woman for whom she babysits 3 afternoons a week. It's late, almost 11 p.m. She's dressed for a party, and she's already had a few drinks. But it's an emergency, and Mrs. Chamberlain is offering double pay. With just a few dollars left in her bank account and the rent due soon, Amira agrees to look after 3-year-old Briar until things calm down at the Chamberlain's house. Amira takes Briar to the corner convenience store, one of their favorite hangouts. The security guard confronts Amira and, egged on by an older white woman, accuses her of kidnapping Briar. The altercation is loud and heated and is only resolved when Mr. Chamberlain arrives to sort things out. And this is all in just the first few pages. It's Kylie Reid's debut novel, and it's a sparkling examination of privilege and race and gender. It's fast-paced and absorbing. A book for our times.
The name of the book is Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid, and it's a great list. And for more information on the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, you can go to their website, BenningtonBookshop.com. So you're up and opening and open and all's good, right?
That's right. We just ask that people wear masks when they come to the shop, and we've got hand sanitizer by the front door.
Excellent. All good. It's yep. Wonderful to have you back open and serving the community so beautifully. And these books are a wonderful place to start in that pursuit.
Well, thank you.
Again, Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont. You can go to their website, BenningtonBookshop.com. We have the list on our website as well. Phil Lewis, thank you very much. Great pleasure to talk to
you. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.